Welcome to Albion Narrations. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Today's narration will be an essay by the late Isabel Hill Elder entitled Buddha the Israelite. In almost startling confirmation of the Israelitish origin of Buddhism, many references are to be found in ancient writings, symbols, and rock inscriptions which compel us to the conclusion that the original Buddhism was none other than the Israel religion. When the prophet Ezekiel was carried captive to Babylon at the age of 25, both he and his father Buzi, as Aaronites, had the missionary urge to see their kinsfolk of Israel cleansed from their idolatry and return to the worship of the one true God, the God of Israel. In the book of Ezekiel, we have the missionary prophet's denunciation of the sins of the house of Judah, with whose king, Jehoiachin, and court officials, Ezekiel was carried captive to Babylon. The prophet covers a wide field, for he sees in a vision the whole house of Israel, 12-tribed Israel, revived and restored to God's favour. The home training of Ezekiel in the house of his father Buzi had one object, and that was missions to Israel. Buzi, the Aaronite with the prophetic eye, saw disaster rapidly approaching for the unfaithful house of Judah, and a like punishment to that which had overtaken the house of Israel 100 years earlier, when the king of Assyria had carried them captive in the reign of Hosea and placed them in the cities of the Medes. During a revolt in Assyria, the Israelite captives made their escape, and for the most part turned southeast to the shores of the Caspian Sea. These tidings having reached Buzi, his missionary's spirit was aroused to go forth to these escaped captives, his kinsfolk. Taking with him 5 disciples, probably trained in the schools of the prophets, Buzi came to these outcast Israelites with a message of hope and forgiveness. He would make a supreme effort to turn them from idolatry to the worship of the one true God. As he journeyed towards their camping places, his name Buzi became Buddha. This change is easily understood when we realise that in the Semitic languages the Z and the D sounds are related. For example, in Hebrew, Zahab and Dahab both mean gold, and so Buddha would be a natural alternative for Buzi or Buzza. It is then as Buddha that we first hear of Buzi, the father of Ezekiel, between Medea and the Caspian Seas, and his followers as Budi or Budai. It was from the region of Medea that the wise men came to Bethlehem at the time of the birth of our Lord, Bud in some Oriental languages meaning wise, probably descendants of some of these Israelites who had been taught by Buzi the Wise. These escaped Israelites are mentioned by Herodotus as belonging to the nation formed by Deicees and as revolting from Assyria and asserting their independence not many years after Israel's deportation to Medea in the reign of Hosea. Here, amongst these Israelites, Buzi began his mission, and in this region, Buddhism was found in its most ancient form, and which began to spread around 600 BC. Not as now professed and practiced, nor even altogether as it was established in India under King Ashoka 300 years after its first propagation, as Dr. Moore observes. It has been corrupted by various pagan additions and has assumed shapes according to the various idolatries it has encountered, till at length but little of the original remains in a pure form. For example, the celibacy of priests is now universal, but according to its own records, its founder married twice, if not thrice, and gave his disciples precepts as to the choice of a wife. The Israelitish character and origin of Buddhism is seen in many ways. It was a monotheistic reformation of the outcast tribes of Israel, and its symbolism, that of the wheel on the tops of Sanchi, correspond exactly with that described in 1 Kings chapter 7:33. As in Solomon's temple. There is so close resemblances between Ezekiel's writings and the earliest Buddhist records and inscriptions as to prove that the prophet himself, the son of Buzi, had for his father the original Buddha. The story of the rock inscriptions at Gurnar Delhi and other places is one uniform lament of a nation overwhelmed by fire and sword, scattered and afflicted, and that as a purification from its sins, and that in order to future cleansing and peace. If early Buddhism is shown by Dr. Moore in his Lost Ten Tribes to be of Israelitish derivation, its Saxon origin and affinities are nonetheless clear. Sakya, or the Saxon, was the founder of Buddhism. The claim for an Israelitish origin for the original Buddha through the name Sakya, or the Saxon, the son of Isaac, is further strengthened by the fact that Buddha was also known as Yaku, son of Jacob. The early Buddhists looked upon themselves as men with a divine mission, and corrupted as has their religion been by Asiatic nations, just as New Testament teaching has been by the Latins, their influence is still widely felt in India, Ceylon, Burma, Siam, China, and Japan. They broke down caste and destroyed brute worship, demanding thought as the foundation of belief, and by teaching equality and goodwill as the foundation of moral excellence. Their disciples still profess to be open to new truths, and they are expecting another Messiah. Buddhism was introduced into India as Christianity is now, by the Saxon race. The religion which King Ashoka established as the state religion was that of a people who had issued from the neighbourhood of the Caspian Sea, and carried their religion with them until it was established in India. The Tibetans themselves assert that the fair, high-nosed people who came from the West and taught them their religion were the Sakai. The Purana Varana recorded that the White Island, Sakam or Saxum, was early possessed by Sakai who founded Buddhism in the East. The inscriptions on the Newton and Logie stones of Scotland have undoubted Buddhist symbols upon them, the lotus, the wheel, the lion, the unicorn, corresponding with those of Eastern Buddhism. There is a curious family sympathy and similarity between Scandinavian mythology and Buddhism, which had its rise in the same neighbourhood, whence, according to tradition and history, our northern forefathers came. The rock temple inscription at Kanari reads, "And Sakya's mouth unkindling them brought the Sirim together from the race of Harari." The influence of Sakya Buddha, the founder of Buddhism, is thus recorded. The Sirim in Hebrew signifies the scattered and dispersed like seed, or one who has taken root in a country where he lives and is spreading abroad his branches. And the race of Harari were the dwellers in the hill country of Ephraim, the name Ephraim being a general term for ten-tribed Israel, Ephraim the leader and holder of the birthright, as so frequently instanced in scripture. Buzi, or Sakya Buddha, met with considerable success in turning many of his fellow Israelites to the worship of the one true God, and with his five disciples trained many of his people for mission work among scattered Israel wherever they might be found. His followers were known as Budai in Persia and the region of the Caspian Sea. The teaching of Buzi, or Buddha, was strictly scriptural, as may be seen from a study of early Buddhist symbols. Buddha gave his followers their own scriptures, embodying these symbols, which were formally authenticated in BC 543 after his death. In the 3rd century BC, these scriptures, with other books on Buddhism, were taken to Ceylon, which has ever since been the headquarters of Buddhism. The professors of this religion called themselves Sakyas of the Argus, probably from the fact that it was from the Sakai or the Saxons they received their religion, and while they remained separate, they appear to have driven all before them, and to have maintained the joy in life reflected in the Vedas, which much resemble the northwestern Eddas. But as they became mingled with the heathen people, they lost hope. A revival, however, was soon to follow, for the son of a North Indian chief, Prince Siddhartha Gautama, determined on revival, and choosing five disciples after the example of Sakya Buddha. He became, to all intents and purposes, a begging friar, and with his disciples, a teacher of Buddhism. His wife became the head of the first Buddhist nunnery of female recluses. According to Dr. D.B. Spooner, Siddhartha Gautama's mother, the Lady Maya, was of Iranian or Persian descent, the country where Buzi or Buddha laid the foundation of his system, and from whom Siddhartha Gautama would undoubtedly receive his knowledge of Buddhism. On attaining to Buddhahood under the Bhopal tree at Beza, the desired end of much study and contemplation, Prince Gautama assumed the name of the founder, Sakya Buddha, and here he took up his abode with his five disciples. It is self-evident that as Prince Gautama attained to Buddhahood, he could not have been the original founder of Buddhism. Gautama died after 45 years' labour from eating too much rice and pork, a most ignoble ending for a reformer, but supplying further evidence that he was not actually Sakya, for no Saxon of those days would touch pork. It was one of the identifying marks of Israel as they trekked across Europe that all branches of the Sakya were known to abhor pork. This was the one Mosaic law to which they gave unswerving obedience. The original sources of our knowledge of Prince Gautama and his system are the Sanskrit Buddhistic literature of Nepal, first discovered by Mr. Brian Hodge, and the Pali Buddhistic, or the literature of Ceylon. In Hebrew, Pali means wonderful, and in Greek, ancient, both of which meanings it has to the Hindu mind. As we have had in history two characters named St. Patrick, 400 years apart, two named St. George, 50 years apart, so we have had two Buddhas. In each case, the original character was the true one. When Siddhartha Gautama, the second Buddha and great reformer of a decadent Buddhism, died, his body was burned and his charred bones were distributed over the whole country, to cover which, in after times, gave rise to the stupas, topas or relic mounds which have been discovered in so many places between Kabul and Madras. Ashoka, one of their kings, established Buddhism as the state religion of India in 250 BC, and was the great engraver of rocks, pillars, and topes, many of the words in which are Chaldaic Hebrew. The best-known topes or domes are at Sanchi near Bhopal. One was discovered by General Cunningham at Baroot, 100 miles southwest of Allahabad. Each of the four Turans, or gateways, at Sanchi is formed by two upright pillars nearly 6 yards high and 10 feet apart, surmounted by pinnacles of the usual Buddhist emblems of the wheel and trident, while the ground plan forms their gigantic mystic cross. The cast of one is to be seen in the court of the South Kensington Museum. Buddhist legends form the basis of the old nursery tales and rhymes all over Europe, as well as the lives of Roman Catholic saints, who have much otherwise in common with Buddhism. We shall now consider the emblems of Buddhism, all of which are of Hebrew origin and significance introduced by Buzi, the first and original Buddha. The Union Jack, or Union of Jacob, with the cross known in a later age as the Cross of St. George, may be seen on the large tope or tumulus at Sanchi, with the Star Banner of the United States and Britannia's trident and shield, while the lion and unicorn may be seen crouching in peace at Buddha's feet, as he sits on his marble throne at the entrance to the vast rock temple at Ajanta. The trident, the conventionalized flesh fork of the Levitical sacrifices, was retained as an emblem by the tribe of Levi, and Buzi, or Buddha, being of that tribe, it is natural that this emblem should be found with the other Israel emblems, wherever Buddhism was set up. From Dr. George Moore's Ancient Pillar Stones of Scotland, we learn of the death of Ayati, or Ayati, a Buddhist missionary with a Benjamite name. The Ogham inscription around whose Newton tombstone in Aberdeenshire reads thus: "When Baal ruled Jutland and the coast before the Ayati was smitten." And in the centre, "In the tomb with the dead is Ayati, the light of the darkness of a perverted people. Who shall be pure priest of the people consecrated to God? Like the vessel of prayer, my glory covers me." The Sanskrit monogram Zeus added is said to mean "it is well." This monument must have been erected more than 2,000 years ago. The inscriptions on the Newton and Logi stones have undoubted Hebrew symbols upon them. The lotus, the wheel, the lion, and the unicorn corresponding with that of Eastern Buddhism. From the teaching of Buddha, there emerged what became known as the Enlightened Way. This way comprised right thought, right speech, right behavior, right doctrine, right purity, right humility, right purpose, right concentration. This rightfold way finds its origin in the Hebrew Ten Commandments. The Karen tradition of the Buddhist Brotherhood with a Western nation are to the same effect. Studies of ancient history do not need to be told that 2,000 years ago, communication between East and West was comparatively easy, as regular caravans were established and no passports were required. The inscription on the Newton stone, when Baal ruled Jutland, raises an interesting point in connection with the tribe of Judah, or that portion of the tribe who, when in captivity in Babylon, declined the offer of repatriation made by Cyrus and trekked to the shores of the Caspian Sea to join their brethren of the ten tribes, the place known to Ezra as the whereabouts of escaped Israel, from whom he requested the return of some Levites for services in the rebuilt temple at Jerusalem. These Judahites from Babylon became known as Jutes, and eventually as Jutes they trekked across Europe under their tribal flag, the Lion Rampant. On reaching Denmark, they settled in the north of that country for some centuries, giving their name Jutland or Jula's Land to it. Eventually these people crossed to Britain and essayed to settle in Kent, but were pushed north to Scotland. In time, they became the dominant people there, and their tribal flag, the Lion Rampant, became the national flag of Scotland. Their capital, now Edinburgh, was known as Judenberg, Judah's capital. It was to these people the Buddhist missionaries came in BC times, most probably from the shores of the Caspian Sea, and it is most significant that on the Newton tombstone in Aberdeenshire, the name Jutland appears connecting that place with Scotland. Among the gravestones found in the Crimea, now in the museum at Leningrad, there is one to Buki, or Buzi, the son of Ishak the priest. May he rest in Eden at the time of the salvation of Israel, in the year 702 of our exile. The dates on these tombstones are now doubted, they being hundreds of years apart. Have we not here the gravestone of Buzi, Ezekiel's father, who followed after wayward and idolatrous Israel, even from Medea to the Caspian Sea, and whose monotheistic teaching is now corrupted in modern Buddhism, but not without trace of the original Buddha's system founded on Old Testament teaching? It is not claimed that Buddhism in its present corrupted form, or those who now profess it, are Israelite, any more than that Latin Christianity and the Latin people are truly Christian or of Israel. What modern Romanism is to New Testament Christianity, modern Buddhism is to the Israelite teaching of the primitive founder of Buddhism. Both are apostasies adopted or adapted by alien races, through Ashoka in one case and Pope Gregory on the other. Both, when traced to their source, prove their indebtedness to the Bible and Israel as the once-for-all chosen channel of divine revelation and benediction to mankind. In Japan, the Risho Association, based on right teaching, aspires to lead a revival of Buddhism. Dr. Charles Iglehart, a leader of the Protestant movement in Japan for 50 years, says, "Protestantism never really came to grips with the common people of Japan. Protestantism is an urban, middle-class, intellectuals' religion. The truth is, Christian churches do not proclaim the original faith of Jesus, any more than Buddhist temples reproduce the teaching of the historic Buddha. The Buddhists have never ceased to expect the desire of all nations to come, and when our Lord returns to this earth according to his sure promise, there are 500 million Buddhists waiting to acclaim him as their long-expected Messiah. They in turn will be missionaries in many heathen lands, and when purified from error have their part in the great consummation of the ages, when our Lord shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Then also will be fulfilled the prophecy delivered by him during his ministry. They shall come from the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God.